a moment ago that Deuteronomy is a book of review. And in fact, the word Deuteronomy means the second law. If you'd understand, in the first chapter, Moses is reviewing and he talks about that at Kadesh Barnea, the people made a vote. And they voted not to go into the land of promise. You understand that all that God did in Egypt, beginning with Joseph, and then the 430 years of suffering, was preparing them for this ultimate entrance into the land of promise. That's what God's intention was. God did not put Israel in Egypt to just put them there and make them pay for sin. Listen to me, children of God. God put them there to ready them for the admission into His place of promise. Canaan is never a picture of heaven. It's always a picture of the triumphant, victorious Christian life. It's a picture of where we want to be as believers. It's a picture where the Loomis Park Baptist Church would like to be in the spirit of revival. Canaan, that place where it flowed with milk and honey, where grapes were large clusters and the wonderful bounty and filling of God. I want to tell you something. I'm not happy with my Christian life tonight. I'm not content with my Christian experience tonight. I'm not in known sin. I'm not in some kind of wicked immorality. But I'm not happy with my thought life tonight. And I'm not happy with the musings of my own spirit and my own soul tonight. Could I hear an amen? And don't look so holy, because if you'd be honest with yourself, I mean, if you'd really, by the way, the Bible says we look into the perfect law of liberty. That's talking about looking into a mirror. And I want to tell you something. That mirror can't change us. That mirror can't change us. The laws of the Old Testament are not what change us, but rather it's a walk with God that changes us. When you look at a mirror and you see muss on your face, you don't take the mirror and try to wipe it off. No, you look at it and you inside decide to fix what's on the outside wrong. And that's what God is trying to do in the spirit of revival in this great church. I'm not happy with my walk with God. And I have to admit to you, I'm not happy with my soul winning. I'm not happy with my prayer life. I'll never forget one time Dr. Malone in my company said these words. He said, "My failing part of life is my prayer life." And I'll never forget when he said that. I thought, dear God, how hopeless am I to imagine that his failing part in his life was his prayer life. But I'm speaking tonight about Israel in their journey along the way. They were to walk along this King's Highway. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But I want you to see in chapter 2 and verse number 3, God speaks to the prophet. He says, "You've come past this mountain long enough. Turn you northward." See, God says you've been here long enough. That long enough, by the way, is a full 40 years of wandering. And God is now readying them. Listen to me, Deuteronomy 2 is followed by a long dissertation from Moses. And then the prophet is removed from the people of God. And then we're introduced to old brother Joshua, who brings them across the Jordan into Canaan. And Moses, it's kind of like, this is our last chance, folks. This is the second chance. Hey, listen to me, God shut a door at Kadesh Barnea. He shut the door when those spies came back and the people balked at God's promise. He said, "The land is yours if you just go in." And one door shut. But let me tell you something. Good news, church. Say amen. I said, good news, church. Say amen. Good news. Say amen. When one door shuts, another door opens. Well, that's good news. I'm thanking God tonight that He is the God of the second chance. And He is the God who opens another door when one door shuts. And here God promises them that you'll go through. And you're going to enter in, but I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. I want to say another hoorah for God, that He doesn't leave me to my own figuring it out. That He didn't say to me, "I hope you make it." We started a church. I was 21 years old when we moved to Massachusetts and got going. I spent my 22nd birthday all by myself. My wife wasn't there. And I was in Westfield, Massachusetts. I didn't know anybody. My birthday is when? Somebody raise your hand. Remind me. I'll give you a dollar. When is my birthday? Huh? Oh, the pastor said 4th of July. Here's your dollar. I spent my 22nd birthday there, and I didn't know what I was doing. I moved to a town of 70-some thousand people. Didn't have any idea how to start a church. But you know, there's a God who sticks alongside His children. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you're asked to teach a Sunday school class, it's not up to you to figure it all out. Just yield yourself. Let God have you. And He has a way of guiding us right along. Say amen. You see, He always assists His children in going through to the promised land. And to get to the land of promise, they had to go through some difficult terrain. There are three nations listed here. The Edomites, Ammonites, and the Moabites. All the ites. And they were to pass through these lands. And Moses comes to the Ammonite king and seeks passage. And the result was a battle in verse 24. And you see all that there. But we find that Moses said that we're not going to fight. God will do our fighting for us. But we've got to go through this king's highway. The fighting will come. But we must pass by along the king's highway. God refused Israel of meddling with these people. And there's two reasons for that. One of them is because God made a promise to Esau and to his people and to the sons of Lot, the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were given inheritances and possessions by God's decree. So God said, you cannot mess with what I've ordained. I want to tell you something. You mess with what God ordains, you always lose. Amen. That's a fact. But the other thing I think is for you and for me to understand some spiritual lessons as we go through this life to get to the land of promise. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. I do believe these are the last days. I believe they're the last of the last days. But I want to tell you something, and I think my brothers are with me on this, and your pastor is together on this. These are the best days for the church of God. I believe these are the best days. In the last year, our church, we've started two more bus routes. I'm so thankful. My wife and I, we started a bus route 10 weeks ago. I started a bus route. And you say, well, why are you running a bus route? You're the pastor. I know. I just wanted to get it going. And it's interesting how people responded to that. How we've got captain that does it and driver and all that stuff. I don't ride the bus anymore. But this past Sunday, after 10 weeks, 63 riders on that bus, I've baptized 14 adults off that one bus route in the last few weeks, 10 weeks. I'm just saying these are the best days to serve the Lord. Can I hear an amen? I'm feeling some preaching going on. Amen. I said these are the best days to serve the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm excited about the future. I am not looking down. I'm looking up. I'm excited about what God's going to do in these last days. Hey, listen to me. It's time to start new Sunday school classes. It's time to start adding things, not taking away things. It's time to add more missionaries and have more called out. Hey, listen, this is the time to head on into the promised land. Oh, it's exciting days. I was talking to a young preacher planting a church out west, and he said to me, he said, man, I'm so excited. I'm thinking I'm so jealous of him. Oh, the thrill of starting a church. You're taking a town by storm. Making your own logo. Writing your own constitution. Here's my constitution. I am the boss. No, just kidding. And I mean, just organizing that thing. And he's talking about it. He said, Brother Thor, if I was out soul winning all by myself for about 9 hours last week, and I remember those lonely days of going soul winning all by myself, I want to tell you something. These are the days to take steps of faith and get off our blessed assurance and take a step on for God. Boy, these are the days to get stirred up, not stirred down. Amen. These are the days to get our homes straightened up. These are days to start loving one another. These are the days to start forgiving others. Amen. And getting on our way to the promised land. I've got to get to the message. I want you to see tonight this beautiful picture. This Old Testament shadow that shows us a little glimpse on how we're supposed to be in our journey toward the promised land. I want you to notice, first of all, that God said, walk the king's highway. He didn't say, find your own way. He gave them a prescribed course. He gave to them a clear prescribed course. Aren't you thankful tonight, Church of God? God didn't leave us orphans down here. He gave unto us the blessed Holy Spirit, who guides the Church of God. I want to tell you something. I'm a Baptist by belief, by doctrine, by practice, and by blood. Amen. I believe with all my heart that this Baptist church and Baptist churches of like faith hold to the doctrines and truths of this book. And being a Bible believer makes me a Baptist. Thank God for the prescribed course. You know why you have to have a pastor? Because the Bible says so. A lot of these people today say, well, we don't need a pastor. We can have church without a pastor. I say, baloney. You need a pastor. Amen? And you know what? You need a pastor not only because you have to have a leader, but you need somebody who loves you and shepherds you and prays for you and is there to tell you how to cook eggplant at 10 o'clock at night. Amen? Call him and ask him. He knows how to do it. He's there to be a help and a shepherd to you. That's an inside joke. You need a pastor. By the way, I believe with all my heart, you need the church. You need the church. Hey, get your children in church. Make sure you're always in church. I mean, listen to me. I love church. I whole hog love church. I love church. I walked in here tonight and I went, I like the smell of church. Especially when they're doing soup on the property. Amen. Now, the nursery, I don't like the smell in there. But I love church. You need church. You know, God gave us a prescribed course. He gave us directions. You know, in church, you're supposed to hear preaching. And you know what I'm trying to say? You ought to get to where you love to hear preaching. I mean loud preaching, soft preaching, pulpit kicking preaching. I promise I won't do it again. But this thing is bugging me, man. I'm telling you, I'm thinking that baby's going to go flying here in a minute. Oh, listen to me. The king's highway. Now this road was built by kings for commerce and for conquest. And I would tell you this. This is an interesting thought on that king's highway. It being a king's highway, it must have been an easy route. Now here's the take I have on that. When you do it God's way, it's an easy way. The Bible says my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I won't tell you why you're struggling, Christian, because you're maybe not doing it His way. You might be trying to put a square into a round hole. And I'm going to tell you something. We fight with God more than we're willing to admit. The prescribed course of God. I'm not saying it's not without difficulty and without peril. But I am saying this. When you choose God's route, God does not deliberately make it difficult on His children. My brother preached last night that the Father loves us. I want to ask you tonight. Is your walk with God one of difficulty tonight? Where's the struggle? You know what it might be? It might be because you haven't released someone from something done wrong to you. It might be in this church. It might not be. But it could be in this church that there's a child of God who's holding aught against another brother. I've pastored long enough to know that in the best of churches, I guarantee you that kind of stuff's going on. And you feel that uneasiness. And often you even think, as long as that person's going there, I'll never be happy. I want to tell you something. Why do you want to live that way? Release yourself. I made up my mind years ago. I planted my stake in Holyoke, Massachusetts. And I said, I'm going to live here as long as I can. And never, ever have to walk on the other side of the street when someone's coming on this side of the street. I want to live that way. Life's too short. Amen? Maybe you're finding it difficult right now, your walk with God. I'm asking you tonight, look at yourself. As you're passing down that highway, make sure you're walking the king's highway. Look at verse number 4, chapter 2. It says, and command thou the peoples you're to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau. He says, don't be afraid of them. Take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Verse 8, he says, and when you passed from our brethren, the children of Esau, he says, we turned past by the way of the wilderness of Moab. He's telling you, he says, here's the way. Just keep passing by. The careful detail God gives for His children. Young people, listen to me. Look up here and listen to me. The will of God is not a difficult thing. Everybody's just got to find the will of God. I want to ask a question by show of hands. How many think God wants you in His will real bad? Raise your hand. Yeah, how many think here, I want to be in His will real bad? Well, sounds like we're in a good plan here. If He wants me there real bad, I want to be there real bad. I don't think it's going to be hard to get into His will. Why is it then that so many are not in the will of God? I want to tell you why, because we're not wanting to go the prescribed course. Because we're always trying to do it our own way. So the wonderful reminder is here. God has a detailed plan for every child of God. Look at verse 27. He says, "Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left." He said, "I'm going to stay in that prescribed highway." So let me say, point number one, God has given us a prescribed course. Here's a message, church. Stay in the highway. It's a prescribed course. Stick to it. Don't get out of the way. Stick with it. But secondly, I want you to see in verse 5, he says, "Meddle not with them." He says, "Meddle not with them." See, what he's telling us here is that along the way, you're going from here to there, and you want to get there. Along the way, don't meddle with the Moabites along the way. Stay away from what thrills them. Don't let them thrill you. You've got to learn to stay away from those things that excite the Moabites. The word "meddle" here means excite or thrill. So church, here's the idea. Along our way, along the King's highway, we must not get entangled with the things that thrill the Moabites. I mean, to make up our minds that whatever thrills this world, I'm not going to let it thrill my life. Why is that? Because the world's thrills are synthetic and counterfeit. And you remember that. Everyone in this room that's ever lived a life in the world, I'm talking about went out and did your own thing and lived a certain worldly pleasures, you could raise your hand as a testimony and say that every bit of that thrill was empty and it did not bring to me satisfaction. It did not bring joy. I want to say, meddle not with a Moabite thrill. It saddens me today what Christians are doing and thinking that God approves. And he just kind of winks at. Did you know he knows everything going on in my life tonight? I said to our church recently, I mentioned the other night, we had a real problem in our church of this texting and Facebook and all that stuff. And I'm not going to get off on that again, unless you want me to, I will. Well, we had some kids texting some wicked things. My church is no different than your church, by the way. The stuff's going on everywhere. And by the way, moms and dads, you ought to be aware of what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, just put up your antenna and go home like a hound dog and say, we're looking into this stuff. I'll tell you why you won't do it, because you're chicken to find out something. Anyways, I said my church, I said, I have a phone. It gets computer on it. You can get the computer on my phone. And I can get anything I want on that phone. Everything on that phone. I said, at any time of any day, that woman is allowed to get on my phone. She can read any text. She can read any stuff sent to me. I said, and I want to tell you something, this business of having a secret life. Let me tell you something, this double life, secret Christianity is out of hell and it's destroying our churches. It's ruining our homes. Double agents. Phonies is what we are. And we use these little text cuss words. And I like to call it phone fornication. What it is. And we're wicked. And we think, well, that's what everybody does. Maybe they do. But like my mama said, if your brother jumps off a bridge, should you? And the answer is no. I'm just saying this, we've got to refuse. I mean, avoid the Moabite thrills. Hebrews 11:25 tells us Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know something? It would seem, brother preacher, that after God brought manna from heaven, split the sea open, and let them cross by on dry ground, feeding them bread every day and quail and water out of a rock, you'd thought that was enough to get them into Canaan. But it wasn't. You want to know why? Because there's too much Egypt in them. Amen, church. Too much Egypt in them. And I want to tell you something. The wilderness was strewn with the carcasses of those that God had to wick Egypt out of. And I want to tell you something, church. God is trying to wick the world out of us tonight. He is readying His bride for His return. And yes, we have wrinkles and spots tonight. But bless God, one of these days, He's going to present to Himself a bride without spot and without blemish. And I want to be one of the children of the bride that says, God, I did my best to be something worth coming for. But we're so thrilled with this world. and thrilled with the things of this world. It's out of control. We've absolutely lost our ever given God's minds given to us. We've lost our minds today in our country, these cheap thrills of Moab. Romans 6:6 teaches us that Jesus died that we henceforth should not serve sin any longer. I mean, serve sin. Listen, church, I'm telling you right now, I didn't have a lot to change when I got saved. I didn't have a lot to repent of. I didn't have a lot of things wrong. I was the best of my parents' 6 children. I do repent of lying there. But I didn't have a lot to change. I just didn't. I do know this, that my young heart was pricked every time I failed. And I had a heart of repentance. I had a heart that said, God, I don't want to err. I don't want to fail. I don't want to waste my life for you. Oh, listen to me. Are the thrills of this world got you hung up? And the thrills of this world got you hooked? We're not to meddle with Moab along the king's highway. I wonder, have you found a thrill tonight that dishonors God? Is there something in your life? Listen, the Holy Ghost is talking to you right now. There's something in your life that dishonors God. You see, but I don't see it in Scripture. I hear that a lot. Folks say, you show me a verse in the Bible that says this is wrong. I often use this story. I had a man in my church one time said, Pastor, I'd quit smoking if there was a verse that said I shouldn't smoke. I said, I'm going to come back to you on that. Now stay with me. He was sincere. I said, I'm coming back to you. Let me come back to you in a couple of days. I prayed about it. The Holy Spirit gave me this. I came back to him and I said, here's what I want you to do. The next time you light up, I want you to light that cigarette and say, Jesus, in your sweet, precious, matchless name, I light this cigarette. I'm going to suck on it and draw that smoke into my lungs, a temple that is the Holy Spirit's dwelling place. In your precious name, I give you honor, glory, and praise as I puff on this cigarette and give you glory with each puff. He said, I can't do that. I said, I know you can't. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. I want to tell you something, church. We're fooling ourselves into thinking that because we wear the right kind of clothes or have the right kind of habits that the world hasn't got a hook on us. But I'm here to tell you, many of us are hung up on the thrills of Moab. Hung up on the thrills of Moab. We were talking today about this vampire craze and these kids, this whole Barnabas Collins thing. I don't know what's going on around here. Dark nights and dark secrets and all this business going on. And it's rampant in our churches, in our homes, in our families today. I want to tell you what, it's the thrills of Moab. It's the thrills of this world. Don't get quiet on me, church. Because I'm telling you something, it's out of control. You see, we're not here to stay here. We're here to get into Canaan. And if you want to get into that land of plenty, and that land of blessing, and that land of fullness, you can't let the thrills of Moab hang you up. Oh, listen, on the way, I wonder tonight, could there be some secret sin that could cause you to wander off the king's highway and go off and be a casualty along the way? Listen to me, we don't want to lose anybody. I've heard preachers bragging about, yeah, I lost this family and this family. I don't think you're ever going to hear your pastor say that. I know his heart. It grieves him if someone leaves. But I want to tell you something, church, we've got to realize we've got to get there from here. And we can't let Moab hang us up. I'm hurrying, just a couple more thoughts. Number 3, verse number 9, we see, it says, and the Lord said, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give thee their land for possession, because I've given Ar unto the children of Lot for possession. You see, God says, third place, you're not to, pardon me, they're to avoid conflicts with Moab. First, they're to go to the prescribed course. Second, they're to avoid the Moabite thrills. And third, they're to avoid conflicts with Moab. The idea here is to go right on through. He says, just be a guest and move on through. Don't contend with them. Very similar what 1 John 2 teaches us. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, we're in the world, church, but we're not to be contending with the things in the world. And loving the world would certainly bring us to that point. Listen, I'm simply saying this. Let's always remember this. We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How many remember that song? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And it goes, oh Lord, you know, I have no place but you. And so the nicest, listen to me, the nicest people in this world ought to be Christians, because this is not where we're staying. You know, when you have company over, they're very nice, aren't they? Well, hopefully. They come over, they're kind, they're respectful. They don't leave their shoes all over the house, and they don't make a mess. They're always very polite, very kind. Hey, could I say, the nicest people in this town ought to be Christians? Amen. I mean, the nicest people in Jackson, Michigan ought to be God's people, God's chosen people. You and me, young people, ought to respect authority because you're God's young people, and you're just passing through. Good employees who are on time, friendly neighbors, polite, decent, honorable, helpful, kind people ought to be God's people. I want to tell you something. If this town doesn't like the Loomis Park Baptist Church for its message, they can lump it. But they shouldn't not like us because of our spirit or disposition. Amen? I hope you caught that. If they don't like you because of the preaching of this book, then they can lump it. But if our spirit or our disposition is what irritates and causes anxiety, then we need to work on our disposition. Amen? Oh, I'm just simply saying this. You know, pass through and don't meddle with Moab. I've got to hurry. Notice verses 6 and 28. I won't read them again. But Moses says you're to purchase only the necessities. Purchase only the necessities. Pause and look at verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. God says this, you're passing through. Only buy the things you need. He says, buy, don't borrow. You want to know why? Because borrowing establishes a relationship. And God says, I don't want you to have a relationship with these people because you're passing through. You're just going on through. God reminds us here of his constant care. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, not one thin dime, as far as I know, has never, ever entered this church's coffers to build this building from bingo or government or something other than the generosity of God's tithing people. I think that's the testimony here. Is it? Say amen. I'm thanking God for that. We're not looking for President Obama to help us build our churches. If God can't do it, we sure don't want him to. Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying this, God's people. Hey, God's people are not beggars. We're not beggars. Praise God, on this property, 40 plus acres. Man, how many churches have 40 acres? I wrote a song about 40 acres years ago. How many churches have 40 acres of property? Imagine that. And God has given you this land that you might go on and do great things for God. A few ragtag believers pulled down Jericho. Just a handful of men turned the world upside down. I want to say, along the King's Highway, church, always remember, our Father's watching over us. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, one who will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. See, God wanted his people, after 40 years in the wilderness, to pass through Moab, not thrilled with Moab, avoiding conflicts with Moab, buying and not borrowing. Let me say next, and I'll be through with two more points quickly. They were not allowed to let Moab affect them. You read it carefully. God says this, don't let them affect you. Come through unaffected. A cross-reference, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. See that later. There is no doubt. Listen to me. There is no doubt that God's people are different than the rest of this world. We're different people. Look around you tonight. Go ahead and look around you. Man, it's a different group of people. We're different people. I mean to tell you, there's a difference in God's children. Not religion, but relationship made that difference. I want to thank God tonight for the fact that I'm part of God's wonderful people. Thank God. You ought to love your church. And it ought to be something that keeps you from being affected by the trends of this day and the fashion of this day. See, the more you love your church, the less you're going to love the world's music. The more you love your church, the less you're going to be drawn to the world's dress and the world's manners and the world's language and amusement and relationships and philosophy and on and on and on. I want to say, I wrote it down, so I got to say it. It's different because we believe in the old-fashioned way this Bible teaches. We believe that people still ought to marry virgin. Amen. I'm talking about a man and woman pure. We believe that. Amen. We believe boys should not touch girls. I know that sounds old and archaic. I know it doesn't fit today in our modern feel-good Christianity. But the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. We believe ladies ought to be applauded for being ladylike and feminine. And men should be godly and lead their homes. Yeah, we're different. I hate saying this, but a couple weeks ago, a family came into our church. The place was just packed. They walked in, they looked around, turned around and left. Going out the door, one of our folks met him and said, "Please don't leave." And they said, "Oh no, we don't fit in here." And I can't tell you how that grieved my heart. It grieved me so bad. And when I heard about it, I wanted to go find him and say, "You fit in here." Because I want to tell you something, you fit in here. But they said, "We don't fit in here." And it grieved me so bad. I let it never be said in this church that anybody feels like I don't fit in here. But oh, may I say, if you are in here, make sure you fit in here. And be part. And don't let Moab affect you. And then finally put, got to stay in the path. Got to stay in formation. Hey, stay in formation. Are you getting out of formation? Get in formation. Brother Joe, come on up here. I need you. Come on, Joe. Come on, Joe. Grab me some people. Brother Jim, come on. I need you. Come on, come on, Brother Jim. Yep, come on, come on. Russ, get in line here. Who else? I need some more men. Brother Jones, come on. Stand right here. Face that way. Here we go. Stand at attention. Here we go. We're in formation. Hey, we're soldiers. I need some more soldiers. Come on. Give me some more soldiers, Brother Horse. Come on. I need you. Where are you at? Come on. And some others. I need some soldiers. Young men. Boys, get over there. Get in line. Stand right. Put your guts out. Suck your guts in. I mean, get in line. Get in line. Get in line. Hey, listen. We got to stay in line. Hey, we got to keep going. Thank God. Amen. Listen to me. Some of you need to get coming up here. You got to get in line. Hey, listen. Whether you're going to stand in this line or not, it's time you get in this church. Get involved in this church. And get on. Go, go, go. Stand in line. Walk like soldiers. Hup, 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 hup. Who? Don't fall out of line. Hey, somebody's going to be pulling on you. Hey, fight them off. Fight them off. Moab's going to be pulling at you, but you stand in line. God bless you, my brother. Keep going. Keep going, men. Keep going. Hey, listen to me. If you're not part of the working force, pray them on. Cheer them on. Everybody in this thing. Hey, we're going into Moab. We're going through Moab. Indicate. Cheer them on. Hey, we got to be together. Encourage the bus workers. Encourage the Sunday school teachers. Pick it up, please. Thank you. Encourage the junior church workers. Encourage the church staff. Encourage the deacons. Hey, we got to keep going. Jesus is coming back. Keep them going. Cheer them on. Cheer them on. Cheer them on. Hey, listen to me. Hit the altar and get right with God. Bring sinners in here. Rejoice when someone's baptized. Get a new family to come into church. Go on for God. Thank you, men. God bless you, brothers. That's right, Dan Hunt. At ease. Dismissed. You see, we're not to stay here. We're supposed to go there.
Yes.
And where are you at tonight in the progression in to the land of promise? Would you bow your heads, please, with me? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.